kids and my dad all have their birthdays in June. I'm the only one who doesn't. I'm special. And it starts in June with our kids, who both have birthdays at the very beginning of June, the 1st and the 3rd of June. And their birthdays, as they are for many of us, an opportunity to look back on their lives. And we recall so many memories, the good and the bad. And we especially remember their arrivals. In both cases, and for different reasons, our kids' births were terrifying events. One, because he took so long to arrive. And the other, because she took no time at all and came so quickly, it was terrifying. The experience in each case was deeply distressing, and at the same time, it was profoundly beautiful. All of you who are parents or grandparents or have been part of birth in another way know what I'm talking about. In Luke's case, I vividly remember the first moments when he was struggling to breathe. He was a mere 3 on the Apgar scale. It's a scale of 10. And he looked gray and he couldn't get his breath and it was scary. But as traumatic as it was, even that scary moment was beautiful in the midst of the struggle. He had wonderful medical staff who were taking care of him and helping him breathe, which he did and hasn't shut up since. We might well describe that moment of terrible beauty as achingly beautiful. It's a phrase that we sometimes use to describe moments of loss when someone dies, or in other moments when fear or grief or agony are part of what makes it beautiful. Achingly beautiful. It's not simply beautiful despite the negative experience. It's beautiful in part because it's so difficult. And we are enduring it together. Jesus saw and experienced the beauty and the fragility of life deeply. It was this empathy with humankind that leads him to the achingly beautiful moments of compassion and self-giving, especially toward the end of his human life. So what is beauty? Is beauty that which is celebrated in beauty pageants or fashion magazines? What does true, deep, authentic beauty look like? What does beauty sound like? What does beauty feel like? What does it smell like? Beauty might smell like the lovely lilacs that we stop to smell on our walk in our neighborhood. But it also might smell like a sweaty, stinking dressing room after a championship game. There is something truly beautiful about that too. As we reflect on what it means to be purveyors of awe, which is our theme for the summer this year, our theme this week, today, invites us to consider the moments of beauty between birth and death, between waking up and going to sleep, each day and throughout our lives. we remember that God came among us to experience the grief and beauty of life alongside us in Christ. Imagine, as Jesus lived his human life, he smelled the food in the market stalls. He touched the water of baptism. He felt the fabric of his robes. He loved the smooth faces of the young and the wrinkled faces of the weather-worn, hard-working people. He heard the voices of folks who were from near and far. All of his senses, like ours, were engaged with the world. That in and of itself is something awe-inspiring to consider. Too often we put Jesus on a pedestal where we don't think about his actual experience of the world. But this was the point, for the Divine One to know us, to know life, to know our pain and our wonder. All of it blessed, all of it beautiful. So what does beauty look and feel like for you? What does it sound and smell like? Beauty for me sounds like the voice of someone who loves me. It smells like the perfume that's pretty rare these days, but that reminds me of the perfume my mother wore. Beauty is a spectacular sunset painted across the sky. It's a lovely peace blossom in the garden, a rose in full bloom. It's also the struggle of giving birth, of sweaty, hard work in the sun. And beauty is also the self-giving love of one to another. The love of Christ healing wounded ones, standing up for the excluded, hanging on a cross, and dying in protest of empire. Beauty is also a magnificent cathedral or a temple where offerings of incense are burning. The ancient poet in our psalm reading today desired nothing more than to dwell in God's house, to gaze on God's beauty and meditate in the temple. Was it the holy temple made of stone? Certainly. And could God's house be all of God's beautiful creation? Yes. And beauty is not simply about that which is aesthetically pleasing to the eye or the ear or the nose. Last week, I introduced 8 types of awe that research has uncovered. Dr. Keltner writes that according to the research, he says, "Do you know that what most commonly leads people to feel awe? Nature, spiritual practice, listening to music. What beats them all is, in fact, other people's courage and kindness, strength, or overcoming. Actions of strangers, roommates, teachers, colleagues at work, people in the news, characters on podcasts, and our neighbors and family members. Around the world, we are most likely to feel awe when we are moved by moral beauty, exceptional virtue, character, and ability, marked by a purity and goodness of intention and action. Over 95% of the moral beauty that stirs awe worldwide was in the actions that people took on behalf of others. So it turns out that witnessing goodness in others is where we most experience awe. Love is more awesome than a scenic mountaintop. Our main graphic for this season shows a beautiful sunrise or sunset, I'm not sure which. But it's a camera looking through its lens at that beauty. And so we are looking through different lenses to see things that bring us awe, to notice. This past week, advocates of human rights lost one of the biggest transgender civil rights cases of our time in the U.S. The USA versus Scrimeti. Transgender youth in the U.S. have been harmed tremendously by this ruling. And one activist reflecting on this loss encouraged their comrades with this reminder. Even when we lose the battle, and we lose a whole lot more than we win, they have never, not even once, rid the world of us. They can make our lives hell, they can strip us of our rights, our dignity, our future, but when they're done, we will still be here. Because our existence isn't predicated on our rights or our dignity or even our future. We live not on hope that things get better, but past hope. We live because, in a way not quite replicable in other communities, we are defined by how we love each other. We've spent millennia fighting to keep the people we love alive one more night, knowing full well a night might come when we can't. Our ancestors weren't winners. They were freaks and weirdos. I say this with great pride. Queer people are and have always been losers. And we're really, really good at it. The truth is, winners are no good in a fight. When push comes to shove, I pick losers every time. We fight because we love each other too much to give up. And we're still here, not because we've won, but because we're part of what it means to be human. Friends, we could just as easily say that followers of Jesus aren't winners. We are freaks and weirdos in a different way. We are losers. We're learning that now more than ever. Well, more than a long time. Our main symbol of our faith is Jesus defeated on the cross. And the victory of that cross being empty. The struggle for human rights, for trans youth, for Palestinians in Israel, for indigenous women and intergenerational survivors of residential schools and survivors of the Indian Act. Their struggles are beautiful. The courage of queer activists and the resilience of indigenous people is extraordinarily beautiful, and that beauty fills us with life-giving awe. The courage that you have shown in the struggles of your life, the kindness that you have given that took people by surprise, is beautiful. I want to invite you into a meditation of beauty, of awe-inspiring beauty, with these images that were taken by a friend of mine from Peninsula United Church, Bill Anderson, who, with permission and consultation, has kind of become an unofficial photographer at powwows and other indigenous gatherings throughout BC. And the music is from Chief Dan George's prayer song, the Coast Salish anthem. Couple of quotes from Leonard Bernstein. Some of you may have seen this a few years ago when I shared it. In reflecting on the terrible events of the assassination of his friend John F. Kennedy, he shared these words: "Art never stopped a war and never got anybody a job. Art cannot change events, but it can affect people so that they are changed, enriched, ennobled, encouraged. They then act in a way that may affect the course of events by the way they vote, the way they behave, the way they think." This will be our reply to violence. To make music more intensely, more beautifully, more devotedly than ever before. You may remember that he was the longtime conductor of the New York Philharmonic Orchestra. This is God's glorious world, filled with awesome beauty of sight and touch, sound and smell, and such awesome goodness, courage, kindness, resilience, and justice making. Behold the beauty of this world. Thanks be to God. Amen.